Your experience, strength, and hope, it's a story that you get up and tell in sequence. You've got an hour to do it, and it's not all that bad. But when you get up here and you have 10 minutes to tell about God as you understand Him, that has given us all a new way of life, and He's given us this fellowship, and He's done for us what we couldn't do for ourselves, it's extremely difficult. And we have some people this morning that they didn't know about it. I didn't tell them about it Friday. I didn't tell them about it yesterday. You know, you don't need to make any notes when it's coming from your heart. And that's where we want it to come from, is from their heart. And we've asked four people this morning to participate in God as I understand Him. So if the God as I understand the participants will come on up, we'll get started. I get the first one of these things that I came to, and God as I understand Him, and I sat back there and cried for 40 minutes. And have done the same thing at just about every one of them since then. But that's all right. I've learned that it's all right. But you know, we have some people up here this morning that that I know that God's mean something to them in their life. And I think they have something to tell us this morning. And first one I'm going to ask is a friend of mine that I've seen grow in the program for a few years now, and it's a real miracle. Bobby, come on up here.
My name's Bob Davis, and I'm an alcoholic. You know, I've been coming down here 6 years, and I ain't never seen nobody have to sit up here while he calls everybody else up. Bad enough the way Brian asked you to do something, he leaves out the question mark. But there is no place. That is any more special than this place is to me. And he said he cried for 40. I may cry for 10. When I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, and let me say one thing before I say this, I'm going to wish my wife a happy Mother's Day. When I came here, it had been a long time since I had seriously contemplated really any thought of God, or as we say, a higher power, either for or against. I had oftentimes begged and pleaded for help to get me out of one jam or another, but I had never seriously really thought about it that much. And when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, y'all talked about God an awful lot. And I didn't like that. I thought you were a bunch of Sunday night Bible thumping prayer meeting people. That's honestly what I thought. And I had a sponsor who I got when I was just a couple days in at my second meeting, and he helped me a lot with that. And he told me about a threefold illness. It was mental, physical, and spiritual, and it was like a pie, and it was cut in three parts. And he told me to eat what I wanted and what I didn't want not to eat. He said, but the people that were sober and had what I wanted were eating all of it. So that was a start, and I got to where I could at least sit and listen to you talk. I didn't believe anything, but I could sit and listen. And I was about 4 months sober, and I had a brother who was in Alcoholics Anonymous that was 2 months sober. He was 17 or 18 years old at the time, and he was shot and paralyzed. And the little bit of belief that I had got in God, whether it was in a group or God or whatever I believed at the time, was just completely shattered when that happened. Because that was who I blamed it on. I blamed an 18-year-old paralyzed brother on God. I didn't blame it on the person who was responsible. And I came down here in May after that, and I talked to a lot of people about that, and And they explained a lot of things, and I remember taking a walk right out here and asking why. And that's something that I always ask. I want to know why. I wanted to know why everything was like it was. Why did it happen? Why did it have to happen to him? And at that time, I didn't really get an answer. I just got enough comfort to where I could keep going until the answer came. And I was at Bluestone in West Virginia with so many friends. And Donna wasn't with me then. And she called me on the phone, and she told me that the lady who had shot Tommy had gotten out of jail and nothing happened to her. She served about 4 months, and that was even harder for me to take. What kind of justice was that? And I went out, still asking why. And I walked out. And for those of you that have been there, that's an awfully pretty place. It's a lot like this. It's a place where you can walk out and you cannot not believe that there is some much, much bigger than I am. That's responsible for all that beauty out there. And I walked out and I asked why. I said, why? And I didn't have a flashlight or anything like that, like Bill had, and it didn't fill up or anything, and I didn't see anybody. But the thing that I got in my mind was that it's just none of my business why things are the way they are. It's none of my business really why I got to Alcoholics Anonymous. It's my business that I'm here, and what am I going to do to stay here? That's what's my business. And I've never worried about why he is the way he is since then. I'm sorry it's like that. But I don't worry about it. Because you see, God knows so much more about things than I do. It's hard enough for me to try to even halfway keep my own life straight. Much less try to keep his straight. And I came down here a couple years later and I was listening on Sunday morning to God as I understand him, and Virginia was up here. And she told a story that, see, I'm not capable of telling you how I feel, really. It's something that I can't describe. You know, it's like how I feel about being sober. I can't describe it, but I love it. And she told a story about a man that an angel appeared to with a tablet, and on the tablet the angel was writing the name of the people on earth that love God greatest in their lives. And the man told the angel that you cannot write my name because I do not love God greatest in my life. But you can write this, that I love my fellow man greater than anything else in my life. And the angel went away. And sometime later the angel reappeared with the tablet and showed it to the man, and lo, his name was at the top of the list. And that's kind of how I understand God. God is something that I can't touch physically. He's something that I can't see as a person or another human being. But he's something that I can walk out that door. And if I have the eyes to see, I cannot escape the fact that he's there. He's something that I can look out in the eyes of the people out there, and you're so beautiful. God is in you. And I hope he's in me. Because he's the one that's responsible for me being here and being alive. He's the one that's responsible for me having everything I have emotionally and spiritually. And although I didn't see a flashing light, or I never have in the same respect that Bill talked about, I see the light every day of the spirit of Alcoholics Anonymous. I see it everywhere I go. Because y'all have taught me to look for God in every man. Because He's there, whether I knew it or not, when I didn't know it in myself. There's nothing on this earth that I would take for what y'all have given me. Nothing. And I thank God so very much for you. But even more than that, I thank you for God. Thank you.
Thank you, Bobby. I've been going around to things like this for a long time, and about everywhere I go, I see this quiet, reserved fella, and never makes a lot of noise. But he's always there. He's always there, and he's always smiling. And he's always got a good word for me. And he loves me, and I love him. David, a good member of Al-Anon.
I was wanting Buck to stall the thing off as long as you could after when I was sitting back there enjoying the choir and all that. And then Bob says about crying, and I'm subject to crying too. But that's all right. I know you love me. And the God of my understanding put me here through the love of you people. And I became aware of this at Camp Monroe and other retreats like this. It has brought my attention to a better way of life, of living comfortable with myself. And you are the people that gave me the strength and the courage and the love to continue to come. I share what I can. I'm not very much enthused about being up here on this podium. And Brian asked me this morning. And I don't think I ever said yes or no. I just didn't say anything. I walked off. Then I went down to the vestibule. And I was trying to think, what could I share? I said, it doesn't make any difference what I say up here. God will give me the words to say. And I have found this true since I was instructed by a member of this program to go out to the church to a fellowship. And then I've been going to the church for the fellowship and the love that I receive, and it gets better every year. I didn't have this prior to coming to Al-Anon or AA meetings. It was something strange that I was not aware of. I'd always pictured God as a pyre in the sky that had a big old board up there and keeping good and bad. But the God that I understand now allows me to make mistakes, to love and to be loved, and to share what I'm capable of sharing. And through the grace of you people and the understanding of God as I understand Him, I'm comfortable with myself today. And that's the most important thing, as I understand God. Me being happy and trying to share in love that I'm as capable as I am. I enjoyed the choir, and I too want to wish all the mothers a happy Mother's Day. It's been a wonderful retreat, and they get better every year. I just hope that God sees fit for me to continue to come and love and share with you people. And I thank you very much.
Thank you. David, the next lady that's going to share with us has, over the years, has truly been of maximum service to God and the people about her. She's a good member. Help me welcome Rita.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Retha Gresham. I'm an alcoholic. And I'm really delighted to have the opportunity to share this weekend with you. I know a lot more of you now than I did when I came in Friday night. And as the weekend has gone on, I really have began to feel a part of much more than I did Friday when I walked in. Hearing the choir this morning, I sat up closer because most of the weekend I sat to the back because I've had a bronchial condition. I've been afraid that I'd get caught in somewhere and start coughing, and this morning I ventured forth and it worked. But prior to that, I'll go back just for a second and say that I was standing in line for breakfast this morning. Brian asked me how I was feeling, and I thought he was talking about the mosquito bites or spider bites that I had last night, and I started saying, yeah, the swelling has gone down. He said, good, I'm glad to know you're feeling better because you're going to speak this morning for 10 minutes. Well, it's always a great experience to do that, but as I sat up near the front and heard the choir, I thought of what we all are, where we came from, and to see us and kind of imagine what we were all alike, and then to see us in this setting today and so intent on the words that were being sung by so-called amateurs with the feeling that we have was so impressive. And then to hear Bobby talk, he set the stage, and I thought, surely I'll fall apart, and I may. But I'm just so grateful that there's this tremendous force working in my life. It's God as I understand Him. Part of that understanding is also from some kind of understanding I had as a child. It's not the same. Because the God of my understanding in the strict religious home I was brought up in was different, but I always knew that it was good. Yet I kind of expected that I was supposed to be good to deserve anything from that God. Today I know that He loves me in spite of me. My kid brother was 12 years old. He brought my family into the church, my parents, and I would never officially join the church because I knew I couldn't be perfect, even as a child. And I know today that I can't be perfect, but it's okay. My mother had said if I ever did anything to dishonor the family, they would disown me. So from the first time I had a drink, I carried a tremendous amount of guilt with it. And I never got over that. Near the end of my drinking, at some point, I had begun to believe that maybe those folks were right. Maybe there really was no God. Yet when I had the opportunity to come to AA meetings because of a good friend, a non-alcoholic who knew I needed help, I quickly jumped onto the Serenity Prayer, and I was back into God helping me do what I couldn't do for myself. I heard people say that to relieve this desire to drink, you needed to pray to God for that favor. And I sat there in those rooms like a child and thought He probably had already granted all those favors, and I didn't think He would do it for me, but He did. Time went on, I stayed sober, and I loved Alcoholics Anonymous from the first time I came. And I know, I came to believe at some point that God always worked in my life, long before I came to AA. During those really horrendous years when I was trying to raise my children, I was using every bit of energy I had to do what I could for them. And I could not have done that alone at that time. And when I needed help and needed to get into AA, I was not capable of reaching out for the help that I needed, yet I knew AA existed. Somehow it was too buried in my subconscious. Not long before I came to AA, I remember that I did something one evening that I was terribly ashamed of 2 or 3 days later when I remembered it. I was drunk again in my own home, in my living room. My kids were upstairs in bed. And I got down on my knees at my couch and I prayed to God to help me. I came to believe later on that that was the prayer that was heard because it was so sincere, and I was desperate. And the reason I was ashamed was that I felt that it was disgraceful to pray to God when you were drunk. I came to AA, I loved it, I never got any bad information. My sobriety date is February 14th, 1969. And I have been able to, one day at a time, stay sober, but for the grace of God. There have been some pretty tough experiences along the way. And I've not always understood God's will for me. I haven't understood the direction my life was to take several times in sobriety. But when I would get into those kind of situations and waiting for the third step and the 11th step to work for me, I could reflect back to the time when I think I fully took the third step. I was 3 years sober. This man who had sought AA help for me was murdered. He was my best friend. And I remember asking my sponsor if she thought that was God's will. And she said, yes, I didn't. But I figured that sponsors don't have to be 100% right. And the thing that's important about remembering that is that at that time I knew that I didn't have to understand God's will for me. It just was. And to accept it, to be open and available, to do whatever I'm supposed to do in my life of sobriety. I thoroughly enjoy the fellowship. It's the greatest adventure of my life. Yet I couldn't have it if it depended on me. The 12 steps work. The fellowship enhances those steps. The lovely people like you that I've met from so many places have enhanced my sobriety. And I always have to remember where I came from and where this sobriety came from. It was going into that first AA meeting where people were there willing to help me, and the sign or the words that someone had written on a green chalkboard that said, hope is found here. And I've continued to find that hope no matter how, what pit of despair I'm in for the time being. What I know mostly is that it works, and it's working for all of us today. It's a beautiful place to be. And I'm so glad that I got to come and to join you in this very special weekend. And I'm going to wish a happy Mother's Day to me and to all the other mothers. Thank you very much.
Many years ago, when I was a young man, I met another young man. And this young man and I became instant friends. And we've grown to love one another over the years like brothers. He's a man that'll do anything for a drunk. He'll go anywhere, and he loves drunks. And I know he loves God, too. Help me welcome George.
Hi, everybody. My name is George Ellis, and I am an alcoholic. And by the grace of a loving God and the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, I haven't found it necessary to take a drink or a mood-altering drug since October the 26th, 1966. And for that, I'm very, very grateful. I, too, would like to wish my wife, Marie, a happy Mother's Day. Not because she's my mother, but because that's what Jody and Becky and Laura and GW would want. I'd also like to extend a happy Mother's Day to two of my AA mamas, Millie and Marion. You know, it's hard for me to come down here and talk about God because this is where I met God. You know, I'm not saying that God's a Carolinian, but my God, I found here, you know, that God was in West Virginia, but when I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, I came in West Virginia and I was an agnostic. And I was a non-believer. I came in 254 pounds. I came in with a lot of despair, degradation, just like we all do. And I had nowhere to turn. You know, I came to Alcoholics Anonymous because I was in the court of last resort. No one else wanted me. When I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, and it's hard to say on Mother's Day, but my mother had disowned me. My first wife was leaving me. That might be a blessing today. I wasn't too happy about it then. And my children were afraid of me, and I had no friends. And I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, and you people were understanding and loving, and you gave me the God of my understanding. I'm a product of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, in 1935, prior to 1935, you know, there was two death sentences put on alcoholics, as we recorded in AA history. You know, Carl Jung told that to Roland Hazard. Dr. Silkworth told that to Bill Wilson. And there was no hope for them except for a psychic change, except for some rare occasions if you found God. And you know, some people talk about Alcoholics Anonymous of being, you know, a great, great thing for drunks. But if you think about it, Alcoholics Anonymous in 54 years has about 2 million conversions. You know, that's fantastic. I don't know how many churches can claim that. I don't know how many, you know, whatever can claim that. But when I talk about God, I have to talk about Alcoholics Anonymous. Because you see, I'm ever reminded when I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, being an agnostic, being a non-believer, if there was any shade of belief left in me, my God was a God of wrath, a God of vengeance. And I didn't think there was nothing left for me. But I came into Alcoholics Anonymous and I started meeting you people. And every one of you are a piece of my God. I went to the Outer Banks years ago. And there's a dear friend here today that I met down there a long time ago. And it was so good to see him, to have that peace of God come back to me. Because I've thought of him an awful lot. But down in the Outer Banks with one of my A mamas was my A daddy, Isaac. And Isaac can simply tell me exactly what I think God is today. Isaac used to say to me, he said, George, isn't it wonderful that God gave us mercy instead of justice? And if there's anybody in the world that is thankful for that, it's me. Because if I had gotten justice, me and Wallace wouldn't have been out yet. But God gave me mercy. He gave me you people. I came to Carolina 23 years ago to Camp Monroe Retreat. And I met a lot of you people, Virginia and Buck, and a lot of people that have meant a lot of things to me. And a lot of them are gone today. And Bryant and I have talked a lot about those people. It's not that we hold on to the past. I don't hold on to the past. I remember people like Isaac and Willard and those people because they're a part of my God. They gave me the message of this program. And as far as I'm concerned, the message of the 12th step of Alcoholics Anonymous says that we have a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. And we carry that message to alcoholics. It doesn't say wet alcoholics. It doesn't say dry alcoholics. It says alcoholics. And we try to practice these principles in all our life. I don't know. I'm confused. It's just hard for me because Carolina has meant so much to me. You people have meant so much to me. You know, the first concept that I held on to in my life about God was there was an old man in West Virginia that used to say, I got drunk and we stay sober. And you know, if you don't think that's spiritual, I feel sorry for you because that is spiritual. Because I woke up in Alcoholics Anonymous with about 45 days sobriety and realized that I'd never stayed sober 45 days in my life since I took a drink of alcohol. And all of a sudden, we were doing that. We, as members of Alcoholics Anonymous, and all I had to do is to join into that we. And then you taught me about God. And then you started to tell me things like, God means good orderly direction. And every time I went to a meeting, I got good orderly direction. Every time I talked to my sponsor, I got good orderly direction. And all of a sudden, I became and had a love affair with God because you people gave me that. And you know, I can't thank you enough for that. I always tell a newcomer coming into Alcoholics Anonymous that I hope someday you come to the point that you realize, just like me, that the very, very, very greatest day of my life is the day I walked in Alcoholics Anonymous. I didn't realize that then, but I realize that now. And I'd like to close with one thing. I have a dear friend at the beach. A lot of them know him. John Getty. And John always ends his talk with, God is good. Thank you.
I want to thank the participants this morning on God as I understand him, and I want to close with a little story that I heard in about this little kid. Got up one Sunday morning, went to Sunday school. He's feeling good. He saw all of his friends, and that made him feel better. And it was a beautiful day, about like today, and he came home back. And he was whistling and singing and kicking a can along the road, and he kicked over a rock, and there was a frog under it. And he looked down the street, and blowing across the street was a dollar bill. And he said, man, everything's going my way. God's taking care of me this morning. And he was walking along whistling and singing and clicking his heels. And this old man was sitting out there on the front porch, and he said, boy, what you so happy about? He said, mister, said, God just made this day for all of us. Said, everything's just going great. He said, God's wonderful, ain't he? He said, boy, he reached in his pocket. He said, boy, I don't think you know nothing about God. He said, here's a dime. He said, I'll give you a dime if you tell me where God's at. The little boy looked at him. He reached in his pocket, and he pulled out his dollar. And he said, mister, I'll give you this dollar if you'll tell me where he ain't. That's about the way I feel this morning. I don't believe you can tell me where he ain't. He's certainly in this room today. We're going to take just about a 10-minute break now. Don't make it longer than that. Just get on back so we can get on with the other part of the program. Thank you.